السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد علماء الكرام most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over receivers it is traditional as I say that in this masjid when a nikah takes place then the subject is nikah we talk about the rights of husbands rights of wives fulfillment of the rights what blessings it brings and the non-fulfillment what disaster it brings Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam what did he have to say with regards to the virtues of nikah but today we are going to continue with what I commenced with last week and just for the benefit of those who are not here I mentioned that we are living in times of fitna times of corruption times of great amount of insecurity, great amount of fear, great amount of violence, hijackings, murders, killings, across the board, whatever you wish to think of, we are facing. So in these times of fitna, when we know that every person has got some kind of fear in his heart, whether the person is rich or poor, whether the person is a learned person, a scholar, or he's an ignorant person, whether the person is living in the city, in the village, in a town, he lives in a palatial home and mansion, or whether he lives in a shack, every person seems to have been gripped with some kind of fear. This fear can be an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a punishment from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on account of our wrongdoings and wrong actions. We know that we have made our homes cinemas, theatres, gambling dens, prostitute quarters. By this I mean that whether we are committing prostitution or not, whether we are indulging in gambling or not, whether we are indulging in zina and adultery or not, but we are watching plentiful of it on the television screen, on the internet sites. So our homes have become places which are filled with nothing but filth, evil, immorality, obscenity, shamelessness. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab manifests itself in different ways. And one of the ways that it manifests itself in the way of fear gripping the hearts of everyone. But then the pious ones and the righteous ones, they are also gripped with this fear. But for them, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala still gives them a kind of sukoon in their hearts, tranquility in their hearts. Irrespective of the outside condition, they have that natural fear that is natural. I explained last week that even if he is the greatest wali of Allah Ta'ala, most pious person and righteous person, but if he too has to go to Kruger National Park, he too will have to close his window very tightly. The lion will not discriminate between the pious person and the non-pious one. He will make a samosa for breakfast of both people if they have to step out of the car. So that is a natural fear. But if it is not an azab of Allah Ta'ala, it's not in the form of a punishment, then these people will have sukoon in their hearts. That if there's a loss in their wealth, if there's a loss in their health, if they are suffering some sickness, some disease, some illness, or there has been a hold up, there has been some murder and some killing in the family, then in their hearts they will have some kind of satisfaction, contentment. Although the natural grief will be there, tears will flow down their cheeks. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself teared when his son passed away. But the fact is that in their hearts they will have sukoon, that it is the decision and the will of Allah Ta'ala, and therefore we could do nothing about it. Our job, our duty was to make use of the correct means. So I was discussing this issue last week, that we have to make use of the means. For our defense, we have to make some preparation also. There has to be some kind of security equipment that we install. There's nothing wrong with having security guards. All these things we have to do and we can do. It is permissible. But where the danger lies is that we begin to trust very, very heavily in these type of tadbir or means that we adopt. Our whole dependence comes on these means. And that is when we get nervous breakdowns and heart attacks, when we find that the means have failed. The person had everything. He installed every kind of security equipment that you can think of, but still it failed. I gave many examples also last week. Try and get the tape and listen if you wish to. And again I repeat that there's no commission for me in those tapes. If you buy from the tape library, it'll be for the benefit of the masjid. I've got absolutely nothing to do with the sale of those tapes or anything else. Nevertheless, so I was saying that besides these means that we adopt, another mean that we have to adopt is dua. And we are very negligent when it comes to dua. Whereas duas also ward off major calamities, disasters and problems. And we are not even aware of it, that which dua became the means of the warding off of which bala, which difficulty, which hardship, which problem. The person was making a lot of dua. Ya Allah, I've got severe stomach cramps and severe headache, and I've got tumor in the brains, and I've got heart problem or sugar problem or other problems. Now Allah Ta'ala did not cure that problem for which he was making dua. But in the meantime, Allah Ta'ala accepted that dua and removed some big disaster that this person was going to face in his life. He was going to meet up with a terrible accident. Now Allah Ta'ala removed that because of these duas that he was making. Now he is not even aware of it. He cannot see it on the computer screen. So Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has recommended, and not only recommended, very, very strongly emphasized that the ummah must make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In last night's program, I was explaining that the only language that a baby understands, we've got a new audience, so it may be new for, maybe the same thing that I explained last night, but that the only language that the baby knows is crying. When the child is born, in that, what other language does the child know except crying? If there's a headache, the child cries. If there's a stomach ache, the child cries. If there's a wound and an injury, the child cries. If the child is missing the father, it cries. If it's missing the mother, it cries. If the child is hungry and thirsty, it cries. Anything and everything, the only language that the child knows is to cry. And when the child cries, because the mother knows that this child does not have the tongue to make a speech, this is the language of the child, that it cries. So it means that there is something wrong. The child needs something. So the mother gives the child full attention, because it's a couple month old baby. Now that baby is going to cry, so the mother is going to give it full attention. If feeding the baby doesn't solve the problem, then the mother will say there must be an ear problem or some throat problem or some problem, rush to the doctor. But the mother gives full attention. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no shortage in His treasures of anything. Everything, in fact, what we receive is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our sight, our hearing, our speech, our wealth, our health, everything is from Allah ta'ala. The only thing that Allah ta'ala's treasures do not possess, and it is not even right that He should have that kind of a thing in His treasure, is tears, weakness, helplessness. Now if Allah Ta'ala is helpless, He is weak, He is tearing, then what kind of an Allah that will be? Therefore I explained to one Christian priest, I said that the only problem that I have when I look at the picture where Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross with nails in His hands and in His feet, it gives me the impression that this must be a very, very weak kind of God. So why should I turn to a God who is weak, who is helpless, who is asking for aid and assistance and help, when we have a God who is almighty, powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent? Why should we not turn to Him? So what I am saying is that the only thing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not possess is tears, weakness, helplessness. And that is what Allah ta'ala wants to see of the believers, of His servants, of His slaves, that they must express their helplessness before Him. That, Ya Allah, we are helpless. We need Your assistance. We are in need of Your assistance every second of our life, every breath of our life, we are in need of Allah Ta'ala's assistance. If a person breathes in and cannot breathe out, we know what is going to be the problem. The person who gets choked, what is the problem? The person who is eating and he gets choked. Sometimes it seems as if the person's life is going to go. So whilst we are eating, we need Allah Ta'ala's assistance and help. We are dependent on Him every breath of our lives. Yet we don't even recognize that. We don't even realize that. We think that if we've got some money in the pocket, some money in the bank, some money in some investment schemes, then we don't depend on Allah Ta'ala. We don't need Him. But then Allah Ta'ala creates some other conditions, that in spite of all the wealth, the person doesn't have peace of mind. Restlessness, anxieties, worries. He has to keep on running to the attorneys and to the advocates and to the senior counsels. Or he has to keep on going in and out of hospital. Or the person has to keep on suffering some other kind of difficulty. The child has gone on to drugs and drinks and vices. And no matter how much tears of regret and how much tears of blood they shed, but that child has become a misery for those parents. So there is no other way. We are dependent on Allah Ta'ala. But again, don't misunderstand me. Don't look at anybody that is suffering or everybody that is suffering and come to a conclusion that it is an azab of Allah. It's a punishment of Allah. That is our weakness. The moment we see somebody held up, azab of Allah Ta'ala. The moment we see somebody sick, we say azab of Allah Ta'ala. The moment we see somebody met up with an accident, we say azab of Allah Ta'ala. Somebody shot, azab of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas if that was all the time azab of Allah Ta'ala, then na'uzu billah, Allah Ta'ala protect us, then it would have meant that all the difficulties and hardships and problems that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions went through was all azab of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas we know that that was a test, it was a trial, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala elevated their stages and gave them such height that we can't even imagine. So for the pious and the righteous ones, it is not an azab, it is a test and a trial, and in that sabr they get Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I have mentioned this 120 times now, that there are only two routes to Allah Ta'ala. Either it is the route of sabr or the route of shukr. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives good home, good wealth, good children, good health, everything. And He tests us for shukr. And the shukr of the ni'mat is not, Ya Allah, Tera shukr, Ya Allah, Tera shukr. And then we see all haram, we listen to haram and indulge in haram. And we say we made shukr with our tongues. The shukr of the sight is that we don't see haram. The shukr and the gratitude to Allah Ta'ala of our hearing is that we don't listen to haram. The shukr and gratitude to Allah Ta'ala of our wealth is that we don't use it in casinos and discos and movies and theaters and discos and rave clubs. That's the shukr of the wealth that Allah Ta'ala gives us. The shukr of the health is not that we go and use it in zina, in adultery, in fornication. The person who is attached to tubes in the hospital bed is suffering from all kinds of complications in his body. Go and ask him, does he want health or does he want adultery at that time? Even his most beloved, if you have to say, if you want, I can bring your beloved now, you have a choice. Allah Ta'ala is giving you a choice. That if you want, your beloved can come and you can indulge in adultery. And if you want all these complications and sicknesses and diseases, Allah Ta'ala will take it away. What will he say at that time? So why is it that time he wants to turn towards Allah Ta'ala? So the shukr of health is that we use it in the manner that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Earn a health, a livelihood that is halal, that's permissible. Fulfill the rights of the wives, fulfill the rights of the children. Make ibadat, zikr, tilawat, do khidmat of deen. Live a happy life. Nobody says you must be miserable, gloomy, sulky whole day. That is not Islam. But don't indulge in anything that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. So there's only two ways to reach Allah Ta'ala. Through the route of shukr, the person gets Allah Ta'ala's closeness. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala tests the person. Sickness, disease, poverty, hold-ups, accidents, murders, and what takes place in that person's family and in his life, and that person is making sabr. He makes use of the means to solve that problem, but he is making sabr over it, that it is the decision of Allah Ta'ala. My job is to make use of the correct means, and if it's not working, then I must be happy and pleased with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. So in that sabr, inna Allah ma'as sabirin, he is getting Allah Ta'ala's closeness. Allah is with him. So he's not at a loss.
بےکیفی میں بھی تو ہم نے ایک کیف مسلسل دیکھا ہے جس حال میں بھی وہ رکھتے ہیں اس حال کو اکمل دیکھا ہے جس راہ سے وہ لے جاتے ہیں اس راہ کو اسہل دیکھا ہے جس راہ کو ہم تجویز کریں اس راہ کو اثقل دیکھا ہے.
The gist of which is that whichever route my Allah chooses for me is the best of all routes. Whether I understand it or not, but if my Allah Ta'ala has chosen the route of shukr for me, then that's the best route. And if Allah Ta'ala has chosen the route of sabr for me, then that is the best route. Because some people, if Allah Ta'ala gives them plenty of wealth, they will end up in all the wrong places. So Allah Ta'ala's ihsan and fazl upon them that He does not give it to them. And some people, if Allah Ta'ala does not give them wealth, they may end up in the wrong places. They may even end up in the churches for hampers. And they may even accept the faith and religion of others for those hampers. Or they may start stealing and committing other kind of evil actions. So Allah Ta'ala's ihsan that He saves them, He gives it to them, wealth. So we can't understand, it is Allah Ta'ala's system. Allah Ta'ala is not going to come and tell us, first I'm going to consult you, there'll be a parliamentary sitting, there'll be a cabinet meeting in which you will be consulted, what is your view with regards to which route I should take you through. Allah Ta'ala is going to choose for us, we are His slaves, we must accept His decisions. So what I was getting at is that just as we make use of other means, it is extremely important that we make use of the means of dua. And Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us a very beautiful dua, which we should make it a habit of reading. We must not wait for the imams to make those duas. The imam will make a very short dua after the namazes. After the namaz, he will make a short dua. Now, are we going to depend on him to make all the duas for us? If he has to start all the duas, then we will say, now you made the dua too long. If he makes it too short, we say it's too short. If he makes it long, covering every aspect, then we say, now you made it too long. Don't you know we have to go to work? Don't you know we have businesses to open? So those duas are for us, that we must engage in those duas. We must feel Allah Ta'ala's closeness. Last night we had a Christian priest here in our Majlis of Zikr. And what did he mention? Ask the person who brought him here. He says that, I have been lecturing in churches and I've attended so much of conferences and seminars and we've had so much of different causes. But I never felt that closeness of God as I felt last night. He says, I could actually feel the presence of God around me. May Allah Ta'ala bless him with hidayat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught us the dua. Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik. If we don't understand the Arabic, then at least learn the meaning and then learn the dua too. It's not difficult. Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik. O Allah, I seek protection in you from the zawal of ni'mat. That means your favors, your bounties, your gifts which are upon me. I'm seeking protection in you from its disappearance, from its vanishing, from its loss, from its extinction, from its cessation, whatever word you want to use. You are saying, oh Allah, these gifts which you have blessed me with. And there are different kinds of gifts that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. In our bodies, there's nothing but gifts of Allah Ta'ala. Our sight, our hearing, our speech, everything is a gift. Which part of our body is not a gift of Allah Ta'ala? The person who doesn't have one arm, the person who doesn't have both arms, the person who doesn't have both feet, the person doesn't have sight at all. Ask them what a great gift and ni'mat it is. Together with that, we know that the wealth is a ni'mat. Our home is a ni'mat. Our wives and children are a ni'mat and blessing. Every gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are saying, Ya Allah, we are seeking protection from its disappearance, from its vanishing. That means azab of yours must not come upon it, or you must not snatch it away from us because of our sins. Brothers, I will make a humble request to you to please get up, fill up the safs, make it easy for those people who are standing at the back and not having place to sit. Please stand up and sit down again. It will just take 1 minute. Just stand up, fill up the safs, fill up the gaps and sit down. It will make it easy for us to start salat also. MashaAllah. Jazakallah. So every ni'mat and every bounty, the person is saying, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'mati. I'm asking Allah Ta'ala that I'm seeking protection in Him from the disappearance and the vanishing of these ni'mats. That means you're asking for protection from hold-ups in which all the money is gone, from hijacking in which the car is gone, or sometimes the person's home is raided. Different kinds of fears which have gripped us now. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala, and this is dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he loved his ummah. And again, I repeat that this is also a means, just as we adopt the means of security. This is also a means in which the person does not just read the dua, he begs Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min zawali ni'matik. Now I can explain that and go on, but let's go on to the next part. Wa tahawwuli afiyatik. And from the turn around of afiyat. Now afiyat means the well-being of a person, health of a person, vitality, vigor, strength. All the ni'mats that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given, now the person is saying there mustn't be a turn around. And some muhaddisin have explained that one is zawal, where the person has lost his wealth. And the other is where, together with that loss, he is now suffering. He is suffering, for example, the person was beaten up at the time of hold up, or the person was shot, and the bullet now has paralyzed his hands or his feet, or the bullet has caused great amount of damage to his internal organs. So the wealth went, but now there's a turnaround of the afiyat also. That now he's going to suffer, we do not know for how long. So we are asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection, that Ya Allah, we are seeking protection in you, that protect our wealth, protect our health, protect our property, protect our iman, protect our Islam, protect our sight, our hearing, our speech. We are asking for protection of all bounties of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we are asking Allah Ta'ala that there must not be a zawal in it. There must not be an extinction and a loss and a total disappearance and vanish. And also there mustn't be a turnaround, that the person is enjoying the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. And then suddenly he loses out everything. How many places people were multi-millionaires and rich, and suddenly because of wars, because of riots, because of other conditions, they became refugees. Those very people who were giving zakat, go to those tents in Jordan and other places. Go to the tents in Bangladesh. Go to the tents in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Those people who were enjoying plenty of bounties. But there was a turnaround because of the war. Complete destruction because of the bombs that rained upon them. And now what happens is that they themselves become refugees. So we are asking Allah Ta'ala that protect us from such kind of disaster, calamity. And we must not say that this is only happening there and it cannot happen here. Earthquake and tremors and gale force winds and flood waters. Recently, whilst we were in Makkah Mukarramah, we had calls from here that there was hailstone the size of tennis ball. And such damage was caused to the people who were traveling at that time. And for half an hour it was lashing. And the person that was trapped in one of those cars, he says, Maulana, it was frightening. It was as if Qiyamah had come. I really was making dua to Allah Ta'ala at that time that Ya Allah, save my life. He says, all those bayans which you will give, I don't think they would have had much impact as it had when I was trapped in that. When that hailstone size of tennis ball were raining upon my car. Windscreen smashed. So we must ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection. Tahawwuli afiyatik. And fujaati niqmatik. The sudden coming of azab, the sudden coming of disaster, the sudden coming of any kind of calamity or hardship. We are asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from that. Because the person is in afiyat, he is enjoying the ni'mats and bounties of Allah Ta'ala. And suddenly, within seconds, it is gone. The person has absolutely no knowledge when he leaves home with his flashy car and with all the money in this boot, or when he is going from the shop, going to deposit the money, that there is going to be a hold up. He is quite happy and satisfied that he is going to go and deposit the money, and then he's got plans that I will be doing this and doing that. How many people were planning to go for umrahs? They went and withdrew the money. They cashed their money, they exchanged their money, and they just came out and it was gone. One person in Johannesburg recently, he bought those cards, telephone cards, for about 750,000 rand, and he hardly traveled half a kilometer from that place that he purchased it, and there was a hold up. And within 5 minutes they took all the boxes and they were gone. So once again I repeat that it does not mean that it is always an azab of Allah Ta'ala, punishment of Allah Ta'ala. But it is a lesson for us, and also the person that is affected, the first thing he must check that how have I been paying my zakat. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the loss which occurs on land and sea, what it means is that the major cause of that is that the zakat of that wealth has not been paid. But it can also be a test and a trial. So at such a time, the person is saying, Ya Allah, the sudden coming in an accident. Accident is an accident. So suddenly the person's head is smashed. His bones are broken. He is suffering now. Sudden. So he's asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from sudden azab, sudden calamity, sudden disaster. When a person passes away, he was old, he was sickly, he had heart problem, sugar problem, and so many other problems, and then he passed away, then mentally also the people have accepted that this person, now he's going to leave the world. So they don't get such a shock. As a young, fit, healthy person, 16, 18 years old, 12 years old, 20 years old, everything going for him, he's got everything. The parents also work their lives to give him the best in this life. Even though it may not be the best of the year after, they work all for this life. And then suddenly that child is gone. Suddenly that wife is gone. Suddenly that person is now paralyzed. So he's asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from that. And most of the places, this is what is happening now. Earthquakes, gale force winds, flood waters, everything just comes suddenly. Hold up suddenly, accidents. Everything is sudden. And the last thing he says, Min jamiya sakhatik. O Allah, I ask you for protection from your anger, from your wrath of all kinds. Whatever is it that makes you angry, makes you displeased, causes your wrath and anger to descend, I ask you for protection from that. Because the azab of Jahannam is definitely an azab. But the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is worse than the azab of Jahannam. The anger of Allah ta'ala is worse than the azab of Jahannam. Jannat, there's a lot of ni'mats in Jannat, a lot of bounties, a lot of enjoyment in Jannat, in paradise. But the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is greater than the pleasures of Jannat. Jisse hai aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsitan mein. O Allah, with whomsoever you are pleased, then day and night that person is in gardens. And I conclude, because it's a public holiday, we normally take 5 minutes extra. And I conclude with that beautiful couplet again. مانا کہ میر گلشن جنت تو دور ہے عارف ہے مگر دل میں خالق جنت لیے ہوئے او میر I do know that جنت is far away. First you will have to live as a Muslim. You will have to die on Iman. Then you will have to present yourself before Allah Ta'ala on the day of judgment. You will have to cross the pul sirat. Then if you enter jannat, then you will enjoy the ni'mats of jannat. It's a long way to go. In alam-e-barzakh, in the grave, we don't know how long you're going to still remain. Mana ke meer gulshan-e-jannat to dur hai. Aarif hai magar dil mein khaliq-e-jannat liye hue. The person who has recognized his creator, the person who has recognized his Allah, the person who has recognized his sustainer and his nourisher and his cherisher, he has got the khaliq of jannat in his heart. The creator of those gardens is in his heart, in this world right now. So mere that jannat may be far away, but the person who has pleased is Allah. He has distanced himself from sins, from vices, from evils. He has taken the plunge into the ocean of Tawbah. If he was gone off beat and off track, then he does not lose hope and he does not say that, how can I ever be forgiven? He dives into that ocean. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is prepared to forgive him. But he distances himself from haram. He doesn't continue in that life of sin and vice and evil. He takes the himmat, the courage. Allah ta'ala must give us the courage of lions against our nafs. And we must realize that in sins there's nothing but anxieties, worries and problems. So when this person does that, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him happiness. He gets Khaliq of Jannat in his heart. And when Allah Ta'ala comes into the heart of a person, then all the pleasures of Jannat, Allah Ta'ala gives it inside the heart. Even though outside the condition may be very, very different. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless all these marriages, which is also a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Marriage is also a ni'mat. So there too you have to ask Allah Ta'ala for protection of this marriage bond which has taken place. Marriage too is a ni'mat. It's a bounty of Allah Ta'ala. So we have to ask Allah Ta'ala for protection. Do all marriages last until death do them part? How many marriages end before they have even taken off the ground? So we ask Allah Ta'ala for protection. Allah must unite their hearts in love, in muhabbat. And Allah Ta'ala will unite those hearts when we are pleasing Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala bless them with happiness, marriage of bliss. And the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the trials, the tests. And Allah Ta'ala must bless each and every one of us and the ummah with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.